C and in re interest of Esvin C. Mr. Briniger, good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Brandon Briniger. I'm an attorney with Ross Schroeder in Georgia, Kearney, Nebraska, and I represent the mother in this matter. Her rights were terminated by the court in Buffalo County through a journal entry order that was originally entered on April 4th of 2016. Now, the court specifically directed the parties to address in their brief the jurisdictional issue, so I'm going to go through that. At some point after April 4th, it came to my attention that that order had been entered. However,
was there still time remaining? Did you find out that the order had been entered before the 30 days expired?
There was approximately a week left. However, my client had been deported to Guatemala, and as the appeal requires signature of the parent whose rights have been terminated in English, necessitating the involvement of translators more than a week in order to get everything done that needs to be done in time to perfect the appeal appropriately. And so brought to the court's attention that this had happened, and the court elected, in order to preserve my client's right to appeal, to issue an order non-pro-tunc, which it filed on April 28th. And what that did was essentially send the initial April 4th order and then reissue the orders terminating my client's
Is that a proper office of an order non-pro-tunc?
I believe it is, because this was a clerical error. The certificate of service shows that every party was served with a copy of this order giving notice that the rights had been terminated, except for myself and the parent. That was the sole function of the clerk, and under 25-2001-3, the court has the authority to correct clerical orders or clerical errors arising from oversight or omission by the clerk at any time on its own initiative. So I believe it acted appropriately under that statute to correct that mistake and to preserve my client's right to appeal the court's decision.
What specifically is the factual situation behind what the clerk did or did not do?
Is there any evidence in the record on that very issue?
I believe when we had a brief hearing on this topic, I think I went through what happened, and this is not the first time that it happened to me. It happened on a previous case that had gone up to the Court of Appeals.
Were there any witnesses called, affidavits offered, or any evidentiary record made on this matter?
No. We didn't call any witnesses or file any affidavits. I believe the judge took either judicial notice of it or stated for the record what had happened. The county court uses
a computer. Are the words of a judge evidence? Don't we have cases that say exactly the opposite, that they're not?
I believe there are.
I guess I've looked pretty carefully, and I don't find any evidence other than the bare certificate of service. There's no connect the dots as to an error of the clerk.
And I think the basis for the order not to attempt was simply that the clerk didn't serve myself or my client, so we didn't get notice that the order had been entered.
And the evidence of that is oral argument?
No, that the certificate of service shows no copy of the order was sent to either myself or my client.
Because you're failed to be listed?
Well, it didn't happen, but I think that the fact that they show they never mailed it to us is evidence.
And the fact that it didn't get mailed is evidenced by what?
Certificate of service saying I, the clerk, never sent him a copy of the order.
Well, but what it doesn't say I never sent the mail. It just says I sent it to these people.
Yes.
It's silent as to you, correct?
Right. It specifically says I sent it to Party A, Party B, Party C, of which neither myself nor my client are
listed.
Okay. It affirmatively lists who was
and your counsel of record. And your
right.
Thank you.
Counsel, if nunc pro tunc was not the proper vehicle, did the county court judge have inherent authority to vacate its own order within term?
I would think so. In the interest of due process, I would hope so. It was not my client's fault that she didn't receive notice, that I didn't receive notice. Was sufficient time to get the appeal ready without some kind of intervention by the court. And whether or not this was the appropriate method to correct that error and allow my client to file an appeal, there has to be something.
Was the order signed by the judge one that vacated the first order of termination and then re-entered a new one?
I believe that is how it was.
Didn't correct anything in the earlier order, simply vacated it?
No, the only thing that it corrected was the lack of service on myself and my client. I think it aired the certificates of service. The certificate of service on the nunc pro tunc does include myself as counsel's director of work, my client, and that order specifically says termination occurs from now. But to go back to the question about what had the error been, it's a computer system problem. When the county court...
What evidence is there in the record of that?
Aside from the words of myself and the judge, there's not any evidence. We did not call the court clerk to explain how it had happened.
Isn't that a problem?
For the way the judge handled it, I don't believe it is. In the future, should this problem arise again, and hopefully it doesn't, then we can call the clerk to explain what it happened. But hopefully they can manage to fix this.
If the court had authority to vacate its order and vacated it, and then subsequently at a later time reissued the same order, would we be reviewing this for jurisdiction or abuse of discretion?
You mean had it done so without any kind of clerical error?
Well, it probably really wasn't a nunc pro tunc order. It was simply a vacation of the decree and then a re-entry of the decree at some later point so that you would be able to timely file your appeal from the order. So, if the court had authority to vacate the decree and then re-entered it at a later date, would there be a jurisdictional issue or would this be an abuse of discretion issue?
If the court had authority to vacate the order, then I think it would become an abuse of discretion question.
Right. Just handed you a softball, so that would be the other way of looking at this.
There was no difference between the two orders in terms of the substantive disposition, correct?
Correct. And I think the...
And we have a lot of case law that says trial judges can't directly or indirectly extend the time for taking an appeal, correct?
As I said, the only difference in the orders is inclusion of myself and my client on the certificate of service as parties who were given the appeal.
The argument would be sounder. I'd be inclined to be with you if the certificate said, and I didn't serve it on this party or counsel. or if there was some evidence that I didn't serve it on this part of your council, but we have just a silent record, don't we?
In some sense, yes. I know that the counsel for the state indicated in their brief that they had no opposition to the way that this was handled. I know that there was a prior court of appeals case out of Buffalo County that was handled in the same way. And that was part of the basis for doing it this way was that previously in a similar situation when those had not been given. And
is that a published opinion?
It was, I believe it was a published opinion. It was handled without argument. I don't have the citation off the top of my head, but it was Star Schlund, probably 2 years ago. Same manner. Basis. Something different.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is it Miss Amy?
Yes.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. We have an interesting situation where our guardian ad litem came as well. He can do a brief, but submitted with me and would like some time as well.
If you don't submit a brief, we don't normally allow oral argument.
Okay. Well, good morning. May it please the court. Obviously, this is a tough position for the state of Nebraska, since I would prefer we didn't allow jurisdiction and we just simply said her rights are terminated. However...
And you agree you cannot confer jurisdiction on this court by acquiescence, consent, agreement...
I do.
Or other voluntary method. Either there is or there isn't.
When we looked at how to handle the issue of non-service, the judge had done the prior non-pro-tunk, as Mr. Brenniger indicated. At that time, I didn't do any research. It wasn't really my role in it. I had gotten the rights terminated, gotten the order that I wanted, but I did feel that mother was entitled to some due process. This was such a huge decision, having the rights of the 5 children, her rights terminated. So I didn't object to...
But there really is no record then before this court that shows that the mother and her counsel did not receive notice of these proceedings.
I'm trying to recall the hearing that we had. I thought that we had transcribed it, but if the court is recalling that it was sent to the judge making statements...
Well, rather than having a transcription, was there evidence tendered to show a lack of service?
The only thing would be Mr. Brenniger indicated the record itself would have had an omission of Mr. Brenniger. It wasn't a certification that he hadn't been served, but simply, as I recall it, just an omission of his client.
Is your position that he was or wasn't served?
Was not. Was not served.
Did she testify at the hearing?
The mother did not. She was in
What was her phone? Wasn't there a phone call?
There was, and she was able to testify during the itself.
That's what I'm asking. So she did testify during the proceedings.
She did.
Via telephone.
Yes, she did.
But that was a sworn testimony.
It was, to the best of our ability.
Was she represented by counsel at that time?
Mr. Brenniger did represent her through the termination.
So what is the lack of notice? What is the claim for lack of notice?
I believe Mr. Brenniger's claim for the lack of notice would be simply once the termination order itself was issued, April 4th of 2016, it did not go to or to the mother. And there's a father to three of the children as well who also did not get served. There was not testimony, but the way I understand it is the justice system, if you click terminated, it takes out the parent and the parent's attorney, and the notice does not get generated.
But that's nowhere in our record.
No, from what you're saying, you're correct. That would not be in the record. But that's my understanding of what happened. The state didn't oppose this simply because we felt that there was a due process issue. Obviously, I want the rights terminated, so I'm open to however the court wants to affirm that order. Quite frankly, this is a case where the best interests of the minor children do require that the rights be terminated. We demonstrated this mother was duly unfit based on the sexual abuse and physical abuse of her daughter, non-protection of her daughter. So this one does differ from the Angelica case, which was another deportation matter, where the mother was in Hall County jail and services were not provided. In that case, I think the court found that at some point the children could have been safe with that mother. That was not the case. A truly unfit mother who sexually assaulted her 14-year-old daughter, physically assaulted 14-year-old daughter after she was raped by her significant other multiple times. I think she would be unfit to serve as a parent for any of the children. So we would ask that that this be an affirmed termination at this point. Thank you
very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. We will go on to the next case of the day, which is Black Star versus Health and Human Services. Justice Stacy is recused in this matter.